On today's edition of the Talking Puck Podcast, why am I so surprised about the NHL handing out suspensions these days? Well, it has to do with the fact that maybe a couple of big-time names actually got suspended instead of getting slapped on the wrist, handed a fine, which, yeah, you'll hear my opinion on that as well here in the podcast. But Mike and I get into it a little bit. We talk about Evgeny Malkin getting 4 games, Austin Matthews getting 2 games, and maybe what this means for the league going forward. The Talking Puck Podcast is coming up next. Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Talking Puck Podcast. I'm Tom Callahan, joined by Mike Haynes, as always. Please find us on Twitter, at Callahan on Air. He is at BusterTheDog33. We love to hear from you guys, especially during our show on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We live stream our hockey talk on YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook Live. But as we get into it here, Mike, there's a couple good topics on the table this week. We're winding down the regular season, but what caught my eye was the fact that, and surprised me, I will start by saying this, I am surprised Evgeny Malkin got 4 games for his hit on Mark Borowiecki in the Nashville game. I just didn't think the NHL cracked down much on its stars, but now Austin Matthews got 2 games for his hit, and now 4 games for Malkin. I got to ask you, is this a different NHL? Are they starting to treat the stars a little differently now?
It's hard to believe. Now, they've certainly always said the right thing, and but come on, let's be honest. We're not blind. We can see what's happening when guys who maybe have more of a reputation for that sort of behavior, and then you want to keep the stars in the game. They're the ones who sell the tickets. They're the ones that the fans show up for. They're the ones that, you know, are very important to the ownership, of course, to get wins. I mean, it's so obvious in the NBA when you watch who gets called for fouls and who doesn't. It's been that way for 50 years in the NBA. But the NHL has not to the degree I think the NBA does, has always treated their stars a little bit differently when it comes to taking them out of games. And so there's a big difference in the NBA and the NHL, because in the NBA, that's a foul. It's a foul or two that they're not calling. That doesn't necessarily always affect a game. But when you are suspending a player in the National Hockey League, we'll talk about the player and his salary in a moment and what he is sacrificing when he gets suspended. But if you're an owner and you take out a star player, there's possibility of losing games, having fans not come to games. You're selling, you know, less tickets, jerseys, popcorn, sodas, all that kind of thing. So you can understand where the pressure comes from, where ownership and general managers don't want their stars to be suspended for long periods of time because it affects the bottom line and their winning. But Malkin is a superstar in the league. Still is. Is he among the best players in the league anymore? That's debatable. But he sure has star power, and he's certainly a guy, if you're playing in the West, the Western Conference, comes into town once a year, and you like to see Malkin play. So he gets a 4-game suspension. I'll hand the microphone back over to you, Tom, but I want to ask you, when you watched it, if he was a fourth-line guy as compared to being who he is, would a fourth-line guy get that same amount or maybe even more?
Well, hopefully the fourth line guy would get the same amount just for consistency's sake. Mm-hmm. Do I think that applies? Probably not. Probably might be a little more. But I also have a hard time believing the NHL is going to hand out longer suspensions for a lot of things. Maybe they are cracking down, though. Maybe they are trying to finally put the money where the mouth is, so to speak, and I'll get to the money in a minute.
I thought it was a pun on what he did.
He gave him the old Stu Grimson had the best way to describe a cross check ever. When you get a guy in the face, he called it the coho bow tie.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I've never heard that before or since, but I got to give Stu full credit for that.
Can I give you a line that?
Oh yeah, of course.
Analyst that I worked with, he said, "This is back now." This guy was older, and he was talking about this back when they had wood sticks, right? And he said, like, guys would come at you like Malkin did, you know, and just cross check you right in the face, right? That guys would do that. And if you watch that, the Nashville player doesn't have a stick. His stick is down on the ice. He has no way other than his arms and hands to protect himself. Now, the jab is real fast on Malkin, but he didn't have a stick. But it used to be, this guy told me that the players would say they would take their own stick if they're defending and the guy's coming at them. They would hold the stick up sideways in front of their face and go, "You better be part beaver if you're going to come through this." I don't know. I just always thought that was funny.
I like that. That's good. I like that one. And Malkin delivered a wicked two-hander right into the cross check to the face. Very fluid, by the way. It looked like some kind of martial arts, combo.
Jab. Yeah, it was a really quick jab. It wasn't like he skated, 5 feet away and came running at him and arms extended. It was like a quick jab, just a real quick jab, but loosened the teeth, a lot of blood, and no way to defend himself. Again, he didn't have the stick in his hands to even, I think as quick as it would have been tough to deflect that anyway. But the question then, so, all right, you answered it about whether you think that was fair, depending on whether a fourth line guy got that. I made the silly comment before we started talking about, is that, do you consider that a hit to the head? I think you always think of hits to the head, at least I do, differently, like to the side, to the back, a punch or whatever, but a stick to the mouth, is that in the same category in which the NHL is at least telling us that they're trying to crack down on is head injuries. And you got to put that in that category, right? Hit to the head, even though it's right to the mouth.
Yes. And you do, because the jaw plays I'm not a doctor, but I'll play one on the podcast. The jaw plays a big role in concussions too. You could get it from your jaw slamming shut or being slammed shut. And the impact it can make, because really a concussion at its base is your little marshmallow brain rattling around inside your head. And it's a brain, it bruises your brain because it's not a perfect fit and it's not tight. There's some fluid in there. So when your brain gets crashed around, that's what causes concussions. And so, yes, getting cross-checked in the face, having your jaw snap up and hit you, like that can cause those types of concussions and other injuries, obviously. I think if the NHL's serious about this, and it's interesting. I just read another former fighter, Mike, passed away, and I mean, a lot of people might say, "Who is this guy?" But Garrett Burnett played a handful of games with Anaheim back in the early 2000s, but spent a long career in the minors. He's just 46. I haven't seen a cause of death. I haven't seen what happened. But anytime a guy who used to be a fighter dies that young, immediately questions come to mind about, is it CTE? Is it mental health problems brought on by concussions? What could it have been? So I don't know yet. And maybe by the time this podcast hits, there'll be more information, or maybe it'll take a while. But we have to be serious about this. It's not a joke. Yeah. Guy's health is mentally, physically is not a joke. And yeah, it's also not college hockey. You're not wearing a cage, and guys don't want to wear a cage. Okay, great. Well, today's players also aren't necessarily expecting to get two-handed and then quickly cross-checked in the face, I guess. I don't know. Maybe the guard isn't as up on every player as it used to be. Probably in the 80s, you expected everybody to hit you all the time, and that's just how you played the game. But I don't see that as much anymore. So, and I'm fine with it. Star powered aside, that's fine with me. I mean, four games is far more than I didn't think he was going to get any when I first saw the hit. And I was like, oh, that's pretty, it's vicious, but he's Malkin. What are they going to do? Turns out they did this. So I'm pleasantly surprised.
No, I think it's good, and it sends a message to everybody. And if they can continue to do this, if these kind of hits now, boy, oh boy, things change in the playoffs, though, don't they? Let me ask you. I got two questions I want to ask you. First one, if that happened, and the Pittsburgh Penguins are in the first round of the playoffs, and he does that, the same move, the same hit, how many games suspended does he get?
It's one or zero. There's no multiple games in the playoffs. Not for Malkin, not for anybody who's not a repeat offender. And even if Marchand does something in the playoffs, I don't know, he might get two. NHL has this weird fantasy that playoff games are not the same as regular season games.
That's it. Right.
Which is so not true. If you break the rules in the postseason and it's a 5-game suspension in the regular season, it's a 5-gamer in the playoffs. And if you have a problem with that, take it up with the player. The player's the one who put you behind Evander Kane.
Would you agree? One of the worst statements I hear, and most of the time it's regarding just the refereeing, is let the players decide the game. That makes my head explode when I hear that. No. You know what? The referees should do the same job they do during the regular season as they do in the playoffs. The game should be called the same, and if the suspension should be the same. If you commit the crime, you should be punished the same, I think.
And Mike, at the end of the day, our biggest complaint about officiating just consistency? Just call it the same way. First period to third period.
That's it.
March, April, May. Call it the same way.
That's it exactly. All right. Then my last question I've got for you, because I've got my answer to this. What in your broadcast, not just what you've seen on tape or heard about or whatever, doing any games during your career, what was the worst violation, like a head hit or just something so vicious that you saw in person? What was it?
Wow. You know what? You've got your answer. Give me a moment to think. Let's hear yours first.
There's no doubt, and I hope people look it up. The worst thing I've ever seen, because there was some racial overtones to it too. It was Max Middendorf on Graham Townsend in the American Hockey League, Adirondack Red Wings and Capital District Islanders. It was one of the most vicious things. Look up some pictures of Graham Townsend of what Max Middendorf did to him. And like I said, there was some racial overtones to it as well. And it was the most one of the, that was that I saw in person. That was the most vicious thing I've ever seen. Just completely destroyed his face.
Ugh.
With the stick. Yeah, it was all. It was hideous. It was hideous. This is the same guy. I hope I'm not getting this one wrong. You know what? Never mind. I don't want to say something that's not correct. But I was there. I saw it, and I hope people look it up. You can look up pictures of what Max Middendorf did to Graham Townsend's face. It was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Time for a quick break. Then back with more of the Talking Puck podcast in just a moment.
You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck.
Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show.
You know,
have you thought of anything?
It's funny. A lot of the things I think of are injuries that occurred as either the course of play or the course of fights. Mm-hmm. And trying to think of, have I ever seen anybody like go way out of their way to intentionally injure anybody? You know, I mean, just thinking of, I've seen a couple guys stretchered off in my time, but it always seems like it was a result of a play. That doesn't mean it didn't follow a fight. It didn't follow a brawl. I've seen, you know, stick swinging duels in the minors back when there were wood sticks. But, you know, I mean, nothing along the lines of that. I guess I'm kind of fortunate in that way, in that every memory that I'm calling up, right, it doesn't mean I can't remember. It didn't happen while I was calling a game, but I just don't remember. Other than, you know, the pre-planned fights, I've seen guys get knocked out so horribly, like you could hear audibly things happen. And then there's the accidents. You know, a player gets stepped on, you know, things like that, skate cuts and just, but those are obviously not premeditated. So I guess, Mike, in a way, it's kind of nice to not have a clear-cut answer to your question.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you didn't have to witness it. Can I tell you, it's kind of funny, not completely. It's something that I had happen. Adam Foote returned in his final season to Colorado, and there was a game in Los Angeles. And I don't know how much you're into following stand-up comics, Tom, but have you ever heard of a stand-up comic named Bill Burr, by any chance?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Okay, pretty well. He's kind of exploded, hosted Saturday Night Live. I mean, he's a big-time stand-up comic. You can see all his specials on Netflix. Anyway, years before that, I just befriended him. I won't go into a long story how we got to be friends, but we became, you know, acquaintances, if you will, and slightly friends. And so there was a game in LA, and invited him to the game. Kings got him a seat, and the whole plan was, I said, well, I'll get you the seat, but you got to come down during the course of the game while the game's going on, come on the broadcast and, you know, joke around a little bit. And so he came down and he's telling some jokes and doing some stuff. He's a big hockey fan, growing up in Boston area. He's joking around, doing stuff. And Adam Foote, as Adam Foote can do, squashed some Los Angeles King guy into the corner and just demolished him, right? As Foote can do.
Right.
And so the guy now is out cold, out done. And Burr now is stuck. He's in the middle of a joke. And this guy is just laying flat out on the ice. Right. So he's got nowhere to go.
Right.
Right. He's trying to finish this little joke. And meanwhile, there's a guy writhing on the ice. And after we were done, he just goes, that was just horrific. I didn't know what to do. So anyway, it wasn't funny for the guy. I felt bad for the King, but it was just kind of an interesting moment. You got a stand-up comic who's just trying to be funny, and he gets caught when Adam Foote just smashes some guy. I don't know.
That's got to be like being at a comedy club, trying to have a routine, and somebody punches a waiter.
Right, right, right. Knocks him out.
Right.
I mean, and you got to keep going. So, he hasn't done much of these things. So he hasn't been on a hockey broadcast really before. I don't think he'd ever been on one. So he didn't really know what to do. Anyway, just a little silly story.
Oh, man. I can't imagine there's a lot of feelings that go through your mind. Yeah. I'm impressed he finished the joke, though.
No,
I would have bailed. I would have just shut up. I would have been like, to you.
But the producer's going, move on.
Yeah,
you know, let's talk about the injury stuff.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing that you find is broadcasting. And I didn't have some of my prouder moments, I think, when I was just starting out, when the other team players, especially rivals, if they were getting hurt. I can remember, not proudly, but gloating a little bit on some things. And then you learn over the years that, you know, these human beings are, you know, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. But I remember, feeling differently when you're full of vim and vigor, when you're young and, you know, when you're pulling for your team and, you know, a player on another team gets hurt. I just remember, ashamedly, gloating a little bit and happy to see some guy hurt.
So. Let me tell you, Mike, how I was scolded into not describing injuries on the radio. I was in Elmira, and it was probably my third year. And we had a guy on the team who injured his knee during the play and was screaming on the ice. Like, you couldn't not hear it on the radio. I shut the crowd mic off. You could still hear it through the headset. So I was talking about it. I'm like, this doesn't look good. You know, poor Mike Thompson. Oh, no. What's going to happen? And it wasn't that bad, as it turns out. It was just a lot of initial pain for him, but thankfully, not a lot of structural damage. He was only out a couple of weeks. But his parents were listening online, and his family, and they were not happy with me for describing the injury and his reaction to it. And, you know, I didn't know what else to do, but, you know, this stopped the game for several minutes, and they had to cart him off. But I was taken to task by his family, and I think they lived in maybe Alberta, might have been BC, but far enough away where they're not driving over, you know what I mean? I got absolutely reamed by them, and you know, Thompson was upset with me too, and I'm like, dude, you're the one who was on the ice screaming. What do you want me to do? I'm just bringing you the news. Whether you like the news or not is not up to me.
But I didn't hurt you.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, from that moment, I kind of learned if a guy was hurt, I was kind of just going to say he was hurt. If it was blatant where it was on the body, I was going to say that. But for the most part, I learned that parents are listening and they will come after you. So stop talking.
I know. Absolutely. That's good advice. For anybody.
Obviously it impacted me. This is what, 20 years ago, and I still remember it. All right, let's move on real quick with this Malkin and this whole thing going on. Okay, here's the other thing about why four games is important, why two games for Matthews is important. Mike, the maximum fine allowable by the NHLPA is $5,000. That's a joke. That does not matter to the players. But, Mike, you have the magic number. Evgeny Malkin misses four games for a total dent in the wallet of
$190,000. So break it down. That's, I'm not a math genius, but that's about $50,000 a game he gets paid. So that is an unbelievable amount of money to lose. You know, you think in that moment, you wonder, now these guys are rich. They're rich, right? But do you think if you had time, if you have that stick in your hand and you are winding up, if someone said to you, this is going to cost you about $200,000, is it worth it? You know what I mean?
Like, right.
you know what I mean? If you think about it. But you know how it is in hockey. The adrenaline flows, the anger comes up, and you're just not thinking. I mean, you know what you're doing deep down is wrong, and you're obviously retaliating for something. But still, if they really thought about it and said, "All right, I'm gonna cross check this guy, and I have to pay somebody $200,000, and I'm able to cross check this guy in the mouth." Do you think that would change things or not?
Oh,
I don't know.
Think about it. Like, if your son, for whatever reason, let's say he gets angry and breaks his one piece goal stick.
Oh,
in the moment, he's angry and that's his response. But then afterwards, here's dad up in the stands looking at it with a $200 price tag. and just watching those two Benjamins fly out of your wallet, or it should be out of his wallet.
It should be out of his, right?
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, that's like, okay, so that's just $200. And that, after you do it the first time, I can tell you this, it makes you not do it the second time when you got to buy your own stick. From experience.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, that $200, it hits me about as hard as it hits Malkin 200,000. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's painful. I mean, we're still going to be able to get some, go to the grocery store, but it's painful.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think that is just, when you really look at it, and you think, was that worth hitting him in the mouth for $200,000? Now, there's a couple of people in my life that I would pay $200,000 to hit in the mouth, even in my salary. But you know, that's a whole another topic for another day. But anyway, I don't know. I just thought that I looked at that number and I just almost fell over. I go, wow, that's a lot of money to hit somebody in the mouth. Just a real quick pop.
Yeah. It's but so the point that I would like to make off of this, Mike, is this is the way you're going to change the behavior, is when you start hitting them in the wallet like this. A $5,000 fine doesn't discourage anyone from anything.
No,
it's just annoying.
Right, that's a $5 hockey stick. Right. No, I know. That's when you compare the two. The other thing is, again, I go back to my whole thing of, now I'm not saying suspend the coaches, but you know the coach is now angry at Malkin, right?
Right.
You're in a playoff. You're battling for playoff positioning. You're trying to get some momentum. You're in the home stretch here. You've made that right turn, you know, at the Indy 500, and you're coming down the straightaway. You know, you're trying to finish the best you can, and now, you know, one of your superstars is out for four games. That, you know, what if you don't get the positioning that you want by a few points? Is that, you know, so now you've got, you've lost this money, and the coach is mad at you, and you know the general manager's not happy either, and the owner's not happy because again, if you got some home games coming up, you know, fans, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe I don't want to go see that game. If Malkin's not playing, you know, does that cost people a few bucks? But, you know, mostly it hits them in the wallet, and don't you think you got an angry coach at this point in the season going, this is not what we need right now.
Well, upset at the very least. You know, Mike Sullivan doesn't always seem to be an angry type of guy, but I will say this. Yes, I'd be upset. Of course I would. I'm missing one of my best players for four games at a crucial stretch here.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's a big deal. And here's the other thing, too, that's surprising is that Malkin kind of let it go. I mean, we talk about having to maintain your composure and knowing when to get the guy. And, man, there's just, like, if he would have left it at that two-hand slash that started it, which was pretty, again, that was a vicious slash. But if he would have done that, maybe he gets fined, maybe he doesn't. No suspension, clearly. Right. You know, okay, just whack the guy, skate away. But this is the thing. It's got to be a lesson that you're going to learn, because now, through the magic of the NHL finally actually suspending a star, you could become a repeat offender.
Yeah.
And that ups the ante every time you go back. So I don't know. Right. We'll see if that's going to be a long term. But I agree with you. You know, like coaches, and you're not suspending a coach for a cross check.
No.
But coaches are an important target and an important influence. And suspensions are an important influence. Not so much because you're missing the games, although the games are important to the team. But let's be fair. I think the money is more of an aggravator to a player because your team can still win without you. Mm-hmm. But you're not getting that money back.
No. That goes to the player's emergency assist fund. I mean, it goes to a good cause.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just going into the NHL's back pocket. I mean, it's going to a good cause, but that's still, at the end of the day, you're going, that's still $200,000. I'm happy to help some people, but holy cow.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I don't want to help them that much.
Well then don't do it. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
That's it. That's that. Tom, if we could sum it all up is, knock it off, as my dad used to say. Knock it off.
That's right. My grandmother would say, we got to nip that in the bud.
Right, exactly.
Nip there that right go. In the bud. So, I again, I'm pleasantly surprised, Mike, but good for the NHL. I think this is something that's been long needed and overdue. So I'm
and let's keep an eye out on the playoffs. If we see, and you and I will revisit this conversation, I'm sure, because somebody will do something stupid in the playoffs, right?
Of course.
And then let's revisit this conversation as to what that punishment, if it's sort of what we just saw Malkin do. I really want to revisit that during the playoffs and compare and contrast at that point.
Will do. Sounds like a plan to me. All right. Well, it is a plan for us to get you to follow our podcast. So if you like what you hear, please do so. Follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And Mike and I are also live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. We also, if you miss the show, we are on. We have a stream on Monday nights at 7 p.m. on stnradio.com. It's audio only, but stnradio.com. You can catch the show over there if you miss on the Sunday show. So other than that, Mike and I will be back with more podcasts here again soon. And we appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening to the Talking Puck Podcast.